So we have here the story we find in Matthew chapter 28, how these women came to this tomb early on that Sunday morning. You know, Proverbs 25:25 says, "As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Today we have exciting news to share, and we have exciting news to tell. Today is the day that we serve a risen Savior, one who is no longer lying in a grave, one who has risen from the dead. You know, there's many other religions out there that they can't say the same thing. If you go, you can go and see Muhammad's grave. You can go and see Buddha's grave. You can go and see other religious leaders' graves. But we have good news from a far country. Christ is risen. He is no longer in a grave. And on this day that these ladies came to that tomb, they were coming, expecting to find. I mean, these were women that had followed him all along, and the stories that he had said, they understood. But yet they were still coming on that Sunday morning with spices to anoint his dead body, expecting to find him there, wondering who was going to roll the stone away. And yet when they get there, the stone is already rolled away, not because the angel needed to let Christ out. No, he was already gone. The stone was rolled away so that they could see in and see that he has risen, as he said. And we have this message that the angel brings. We see here in verse 6 where he says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." He had a message to them, to calm them. Can you imagine the fear they must be feeling? The one that they had been following, the one that they were sure, this is the Messiah, has been crucified. They never expected that. I don't think that they, even though he told them, I just don't think in their mind they were really thinking that he was going to be crucified. This is the one they were expecting to overtake the Roman government, the one they were expecting to lead Jerusalem into that great millennial kingdom. I think that's what they were thinking. Even though he had told them, as Pastor mentioned this morning, he gave them a sign that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so I must be in the belly of the earth. He even given that sign. And I can't imagine the fear that must have gripped even these women as they came. And the message that the angel has for them is one of to calm them. Have faith. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. You know, we can experience that same calm for ourselves once we understand that he is alive even today. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead proves that our God is sovereign and in absolute control. If he can raise his son from the dead, then there is nothing our God cannot do. And how exciting it is for us to put our faith in a God whose son was risen from the dead. And so he gives them this message of calm, but also of courage. And it should give us courage. This resurrection message should give us courage. It should instill a courage in our hearts because death was defeated. For all who believe in Christ, this should be an encouragement to you. Easter Sunday should be an encouraging Sunday. Death has no more sting. The grave, no more victory. Because Christ is alive. Death is no longer our enemy. It should give us courage because he lives and is seated at the right hand of God. You know, the empty tomb inspired awesome courage even in the disciples. The one that Peter, who denied him before his resurrection, after his resurrection, in the very same council that convicted Christ and sent him to be tried and be murdered, he was able to stand with boldness. Before in that council, he was afraid. He was not bold at all. Matter of fact, he was denying the very Christ that later on he would then preach and proclaim. The message from the angel here is to fear not. And that should be a command that should fill our hearts, that we don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm sure those women, when they first came up, they were afraid. Even when they saw that tomb, that stone rolled away, I'm sure they were afraid. Fear must have gripped their heart. They didn't know what was going on, and The soldiers lying like dead men all around them. And I'm sure they must have been just something that they just weren't sure what was going to happen. But the message of the angel is to fear not. Why should we not fear? Because Jesus Christ did what he said. His promises are true. His word is true. And we don't have to fear anymore. We can be confident. We can be confident that not only did he do what he said there, but that today he will meet our needs, that he will keep us safe, that he will provide us a home in heaven. All of these promises that he has in his word, promises in Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about, you know, not to have to worry, not to be anxious. Promises to keep us safe in 1 Peter 1, 5. A place for us in John chapter 14, 1 through 3. And a promise that not only did he rise from the dead, but that one day he's coming back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A promise that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, 5. The resurrection of the Lord should give us hope. But not only was there a promise here and courage that was given to them and a calming that was given to them, but I think there's a challenge to them as well. We see the angel here in verse 6 when he says, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." It's an invitation to examine the claim of the resurrected Lord. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. About 2 years ago, a friend of ours happened to be in Jerusalem on Easter Sunday morning. And they sent us a picture in the email, and it says, "The tomb is still empty." They were there at the tomb, and it's still empty today. And this was a challenge from the angel to these women. Come see where the Lord lay. See that he's not here. See as he's risen as he said. It's interesting to know that no search was ever made of his body. All the officials, yeah, they said, you know, that the disciples came and stole him, but they knew in their heart that that didn't happen. So there's no search. And you would think if they really believed that the disciples came and stole the body, they would immediately go and arrest the disciples, but they didn't do that either. If we examine the claims of the resurrection as they have been examined by great minds for 2,000 years, there is no explanation but that Jesus did just as he said, that he rose. It was also a challenge to experience firsthand, to know, to see, and to know, the angel says, come and see the place, know where Jesus Christ was. He's not there anymore. A recent survey said that nearly 80% of Americans say that they believe in the resurrection of Christ. But you know, that doesn't mean 80% know him. And surely doesn't mean 80% live as if he's the resurrected Christ. He goes on in verse 7. He gives them a command here. He says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. The message of Easter is filled with commands. Once we have experienced the resurrection, once we have come and once we have seen, we are commanded to go and to tell. Those ladies that came, they were given a command. Go tell others. Tell them what you've seen. Tell others that he's not here, that he's risen as he said. I think it's interesting. British minister W.E. Sangster contracted an incurable disease that slowly caused his muscles to waste away and his voice to fail and his throat to become unable to swallow. But he continued in ministry right up to the point where his voice totally gave out and he could barely even hold a pen. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before he died, he wrote in a letter to his daughter, "It is terrible to wake up Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout. He is risen. But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." What a truth that is. How terrible it is to have a voice and not want to shout, "He is risen." Yet there are many Christians that are ashamed to say it. Many Christians who are ashamed to stand up and say, we celebrate a risen Savior. They were told to go. They were told to depart, to leave, go. Don't just keep this news for yourself. Go let the world know. And we have to ask ourselves, are we living as if the Lord has risen from the dead? Have we gone out to tell others? Have we done our part to let others know that Christ is alive? Go quickly and tell, the angel says. Quickly means without delay. We shouldn't be delaying in telling others. These women were commanded to go with a sense of urgency to spread the good news that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And you know, that's still the message we need to be spreading today. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Why? Because there are people that are dying and going to a Christless eternity. I looked up some statistics just out of interest to see. It says there are 128.9 million births per year. Every second of every day, four babies are born into this world. Every single one of those babies comes into the world as a lost sinner. All of them are in need of a Savior. Why? Because all of them are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every single baby that's born, whether they might look cute and they might look precious, but every single one's a sinner. And you know, there's a penalty for sin. For the wages of sin is death. That's a penalty. Luckily, that verse doesn't stop there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that means that we all die. There's that wages of sin is death, and Christ paid that death, that price that costs our spiritual death. But sadly, we're all still going to die. Looking up those same statistics, it says every year 57.9 million people die in this world. So that's two people every second of every day, 110 people every minute, 6,619 people every hour, 158,857 people every day slide off into eternity. So that means by the time that we finish here tonight, 4,800 people will have died. That's incredible to think about. And the sad truth is many of them are deceived. Many of them will never hear the message. They worship gods that don't exist. They worship their career. They worship their things. The only hope they have is in hearing the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But they can't hear it unless we go and tell it. When they hear about Him, we can trust that the Spirit of God will do the convicting. We don't have to be the Holy Spirit. Our message, our responsibility is to go and tell the message. That's our responsibility. We are not to be the Holy Spirit. We are not. I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he was talking about getting someone saved. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to tell them the message of the good news. The responsibility of these ladies was not to resurrect Christ, but to go and tell others that He has been risen. That was their responsibility. That's our responsibility. Go quickly and tell His disciples was their message given to them. Why? Because the disciples were despondent. They were suffering. They were in fear of the fact that their Savior had died. But we've got a despondent world all around us. And so many of them are quickly slipping away into eternity. I think also there's a great message here, and the angel says that, but He goes before you. He precedes you. He's going there as well. He's given us the commandment to go, but He is going there as well. And we can spread the news of the risen Lord because, why? Because He precedes us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. That's what John 14 tells us. But He does instruct us to go tell others that He's coming. That was the message to the women were supposed to take the disciples. He's risen and He's coming to you. And we're supposed to go tell others, He's risen and He's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready for His return? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am also known." We will see him face to face. And how exciting it must have been for those disciples when they finally saw that Jesus Christ, their Savior. An exciting thing for me was that he didn't just rise and then just stay risen and never show his face. But he showed his face to these ladies on their way. He showed his face to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He showed his face to the 12 disciples more than once, and even as up to many as 500 people at one time. Why? So that we today, 2,000 years later, can know without a shadow of a doubt that he arose. Going back to that psalm, or that proverb, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." We have good news today. Christ is risen from the grave. We have a responsibility to share that good news. And I trust that you will do your part in sharing that good news. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Well, you know, I don't really understand what you're talking about." What a wonderful day to find out from Scripture what God tells us in His Word. Because if you leave here today and you walk out the door and something were to happen to you, you could spend eternity without Christ. And how sad it would be to leave here without knowing who Christ is. And I know that I'd be happy to talk to you. Zach would be happy to talk to you. Pastor Beck, Brett, any of these men here would be happy to talk to you, or women would be happy to talk to you if you don't know who Christ is. But if you are here today and you do know, it's your responsibility to go and tell that he is alive, that he is risen from the dead. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for the fact that we serve a risen Savior, that he is alive, that he is risen as he said. Lord, I pray that you would help us even as we go to work or tomorrow or go back to school or go about our daily activity, Lord, that we will still proclaim the message, he's alive. He is risen. Lord, what a glorious message you've given us to proclaim. May we do our part to take that message to others. And Lord, if there is one here today that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray they wouldn't leave here without asking somebody, talking to somebody about their own need for a risen Savior. We pray this all in your Son's precious name.